Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is the Paddy Power, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Light the candle, tiger!
Hi there, it's Wednesday. Welcome along to another Racing Post Golf Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me this week are Joe Champion from the Racing Post and Ian McLaughlin from Paddy Power. Steve's having yet another week in the sunshine. He is back next week, but we've got two tournaments to get stuck into. One absolute cracker, one maybe not quite so good. We've got the Genesis Open at beautiful Riviera in Los Angeles, and then some sort of weird thing that starts off as a 54-hole stroke play event and then turns into virtual crazy golf by the end. Hopefully the lads have got some really good bets. We will start off, though, by looking back on what happened last week. We had another winner in what was he called? David Law, who I've never heard of. We've had Adam Long.
Yeah.
I've never heard of these guys. What price was he at the start?
I think he was a 500-to-1 shot at the start of the week.
Now, you said to me, Ian, that you took about 19 bets on Adam Long. How many did you take on David Law? It cannot be double figures.
No, it was under 10.
I should think it was. So another great week as far as the European Tour went for the bookmakers. Is there anything else to add, Joe? Did you learn anything on that tournament, or was it just a poor, low-grade event?
Well, fair play to David Law for a start, because he's a guy who's struggled. You know, he's had personal problems as well.
And, has he what?
His wife had a stillborn child a couple of years ago, which is terrible.
Was it emotional? When he won.
It was indeed, yeah. And this is a guy who was struggling on the course as well. He nearly lost not only his European Tour card, but his Challenge Tour card. He was thinking of giving up the game a couple of years ago, and suddenly he's got a 2-year exemption and he'll be playing all the big tournaments.
Oh, I'll have to read up on that. And I didn't realise it was a nice feel-good story.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you watch the final bit, Ian?
No, it was too late in the evening for me now. It was a 5 a.m. finish, so yeah, I was tucked up in bed.
You knew you were going to win money, so you just lay there and thought of the bonus. Over in America, we had a Monday finish at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, and Phil Mickelson got the job done there. It was just probably slightly better back, because I guess there's still a lot of Phil loyalists out there, aren't there,
Yeah,
Ian?
To say I slept well on Saturday evening into Sunday, I didn't sleep well from Sunday into Monday. He was a poor result in the end. Punters kind of latched onto him when he kind of came into the fray kind of Saturday evening into Sunday, obviously, and he was just with doubts about Paul Casey's finishing ability. I think people latched on to Phil at the 9-2. He looked a crack in each way back going into Sunday and eventually winning on Monday.
Joe, Casey's ability to convert a 54-hole lead has been a problem throughout his career, hasn't it? And it reared its head again. I mean, what is the problem with him? Because I mean, he's playing well, but he's just never been someone that you feel you can fully trust in the old pressure cooker situation.
I think it is a mental thing with Casey, and so many golfers do have that problem. I think if you're going to catch him, then he'll be coming off the pace rather than, you know, having a 54-hole lead. I think that's where the problem is. Suddenly it's in his head. We saw it with Ricky Fowler the week before in Phoenix. You know, Ricky Fowler's probably most likely to win a tournament where he comes from off the pace.
But yeah, but at least Fowler got it done, didn't he?
Just about, though.
He's got back up.
Yeah,
okay. What I want to know, Ian, and as you know, I'm very passionate about slow play. I wasn't really engaged with the golf this weekend, but I looked to see what was happening. And I saw that the final round had been suspended on Sunday night. Everyone's finished, but on the PGA app, you've got Mickelson having played 16 and Casey having played 15. How have they managed to get two holes behind everyone else?
I'm not too sure, because there were four balls going out when the celebrities left, missed the cut. There was four balls going out before the two balls. So I think there were 6-2 balls to finish, and then a couple of four balls in there as well. So to see, I was the same. I kind of went to bed after he had bogeyed 12 and Phil was 2 or 3 clear. I go, right, this is over. Whether they get it done or not is kind of irrelevant. He's going to win the tournament, basically. So yeah, when I woke up and saw everyone was finished, the two lads still, I think it was the conversation that they were having on the 17th tee. I don't know if you saw it.
No.
Casey chose not to put on 16 green because he could come back tomorrow on fresh greens. It was only a 3-foot putt. I don't think it would make much of a difference. And Phil was kind of bringing his point across, going, let's get the tournament finished tonight. Obviously, you got a 3-shot lead. You want to get out of there with the trophy, so you don't want to hang around. So that took about 15, 20 minutes while other players were probably playing 18, finishing 17 up 18.
He was seething at this point.
He wanted to get out and get dancing, didn't he? He likes to celebrate. And Casey was saying, no, I need to study this 3-foot
putt. He couldn't see.
He couldn't see. Well, it looked like it was still okay. I know the cameras added plenty of light, but it didn't look that bad. I think Casey was just kind of digging his feet in.
I suppose the point is, if you can't finish the tournament, then there's there's no point waiting, is there? I don't know. But anyway,
Casey had the amateur leader playing.
That's true.
Him.
Oh, yeah, did he? That was his excuse, I think.
He was ambling about. For
okay.
The whole round.
All right. Well, we won't dwell on that. But what we will do is get one take out from last week from each of the lads. So, Ian, what did you learn last week?
What I learned was with Phil's win at Pebble this week, he's obviously been very popular for the US Open in June. I would say err on the side of caution if you want to start filling your boots on Phil, because you're going to see a completely different golf course come June. Like, I was looking through the year, the Pebble Beach Pro-Am to the US Open in 2010, minus 18, won again, plus one won the tournament with Graham McDowell in the major that summer. So Phil is obviously great when he gets a little bit of room off the tee. The rough isn't that penal. He can hit it everywhere. He uses short game to great effect. I don't think he's going to be able to do that in June. So I'd tell punters to err on the side of caution if you're going to get stuck in the fill for the US Open.
So that what was, you know, 1-inch rough will certainly be 1 metre rough, yeah?
Exactly. Knee-high rough, yeah.
Interesting. Joe?
On that point, I'm not sure. They've said that they're not going to make the rough too different to how it was at Pebble. I'm not sure the USGA, you never know what they're going to do.
One thing you do know is they're going to make it tough.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, and we've got to remember that it was really soft this week. It's going to be firm, fast conditions by June. So, yeah, but I wouldn't write Mickelson off completely because he's so good at the course, and he hasn't won a US Open, but he's come close so many times, so you can't say that he can't win.
Righto, a little argument there, blimey. I'm not used to this. Everyone gets on well on the golf postcards, and along comes the champ, and all hell breaks loose. Let's look at our first tournament of the week next.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Be the right club today!
Right then, let's look at the Genesis Open. The big names are out. It's a real cracker. It's at the beautiful Riviera course in Los Angeles. And Ian, how did Paddy Power bet on the Genesis Open?
Yes, 8 places this week in Riviera. Dustin Johnson heads up betting at 9-1. Rory McIlroy at 12-1. Bryson DeChambeau 14-1. Justin Thomas at 14-1. John Rahm 16-1. Bubba Watson 20-1. Xander Schauffele 20-1. Tiger Woods 20-1. And 22-1 bar.
What a tournament this is going to be. Joe, before we get the selections, one thing that slightly puzzles me about Riviera is that it's got this reputation of being a plotter's course, very tight. You can't just take the driver out of the bag and give it a good old lick. But Bubba's won two of the last three, and Dustin Johnson's won the other one. So I'm just slightly confused about this, the reputation the course has and the actual reality of which type of player wins.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I actually agree with you to an extent here, because I think, it's whilst it has this reputation as a plotter's course, if you're going to miss it, then miss it long. Because if you miss it and you don't hit it far, then we're talking about 200-plus yard shots in second shots. It's a second-shot course, really. And, I think especially with the weather they've been having in California, it's going to play really long this week. So I think it will play into the hands of the longer hitters. But, yeah, these guys, it's a faders track as well. So you'll expect to see people like DJ with his massive power fade doing well there. Longer hitters, I think, this week will thrive.
Where do you stand on that one, Ian? Do you think that the course has changed slightly? And is it just that the top players now are not just long, but they're also actually accurate off the tee?
Yeah, I completely agree with the points you're making there. Like, since the redesign, it's over 7,300 yards. It's getting plenty of rain so far. It's going to get more rain now until the start of the tournament. It's going to play very, very long. So, yeah, as you mentioned, my list of selections is power players. So, yeah, absolutely.
Right, then, how many have you got in?
I've got 5 overall.
5? That's not like you. You're pushing the boat. How many have you got, Joe?
Also 5.
5 each. Right, then, let's get Ian's number one.
Number one is Rory McIlroy. Started his 2019 PGA Tour schedule strongly. 4th at the Tournament of Champions, was followed by an impressive 5th at Torrey Pines. Has had 2 appearances at Riviera, was 20th in 2016 and also 20th last year. In 2016, he was tied for the lead heading to the final round, had a poor final round 76. I'm not going to take that too much into account. It's a good affiliation with the course of those two performances. Looking at the weather forecast the next day or two, as I mentioned, there's going to be plenty of rain in the golf course. There's no better player in a long and soft golf course than Rory McIlroy. Look through his 15 to 16 wins in the PGA Tour. About 80% of them have come at long and soft golf courses. Obviously, this means he'll be able to take advantage with his driver. He's also making positive strides with his putter, looking through his stats. This is after help from Brad Faxon in the off-season. I thought he looked a really, really good each-way play this week, around 14-1.
Okay, and Joe, who's your main man? And
my man is the defending champion, Bubba Watson. I think with Bubba, you've just got to catch him at the courses where he loves to play. You know, he's this sort of eccentric character, and he doesn't always get on with the courses, but he's a three-time winner here. And it's similar to courses he's won at, the Travelers, TPC, River Highlands and Augusta. You know, when Bubba's playing well and he's confident, then I think he's the man to be on. And most recently in Phoenix, he was tied fourth. He ranked first for greens in regulation that week. I think, longest off the tee. Sorry, fourth in greens in regulation and in the top 10 for accuracy off the tee as well. So, as you say, someone that hits it long and accurate is going to be deadly round here. So, Bubba for me.
Okay, so let's get your other four in. Rattle through them.
Yeah, I've got two more at the front end and two big ones, two big priced outsiders. First one is Bryson DeChambeau. I think he gives McIlroy much to think about this week. Arguably the best player in the world at the minute in relation to form. Hasn't been outside the top 20 in his last 10 worldwide starts. These have included 8 top 10s, 4 wins. He looks to have enhanced his putting figures with him being able to leave the flagstick in the greens. I think he's close to unbeatable if he has a really strong week on the greens. His tee to green game is that good. He said he didn't have his A game with his irons in Saudi Arabia. Still managed to finish sixth. That included the final round 65. Comes here in excellent form. It looks a really good each way play again at 16-1.
What about that 41st last year? Does that worry you slightly?
Not really. I think he's an exponentially better player than he was last year. So yeah, I wouldn't have too many concerns about it really.
Okay.
Next with the front end is actually, as Joe mentioned, Bubba Watson. I'll just try and touch on a couple other points. Came back into form with a 4 place at Phoenix. He ranked first in strokes gained tee to green for the week. Had a really poor week in the greens. I think he was in the bottom 25%. He would have won easily with an average week. As Joe mentioned, coming to one of his favourite stops in the PGA Tour at Riviera. 3-time winner here, 2014, 2016 and last year. Loves the course, possibly because it resembles the shot shapes at Augusta. So it probably suits his eye that much. He's obviously a 2-time winner at Augusta as well. With the return back to form, his ball striking looking to be in great shape, and back to a course he loves, I thought 22-1 looked more than fair this week.
Right, so that's 20% of the book taken out. What are you going for, Dustin and Justin?
No. I've got two. It's Cameron Champs, the next one, the outsider. This is more from a price perspective. I can't let Champ go off 100-1 in any field. Even more so, a Riviera could be playing soft and strong. Drivers of the golf ball should flourish. No better driver of the golf ball on tour than Champ. It was 28 last week at Pebble Beach, which is encouraging. Course doesn't really suit him at all. Missed cut here last year, but has improved a lot as a player, obviously. Thought it was worth a flyer at 100-1. And the second outsider is Aaron Wise. Again, a pick based purely on price. Not in the best of form, but as a natural talent who can find his form easily. First time winner in the PGA Tour last year. 4 top 15 finishes in a row before 27 the tournament champions. 151 was worth a speculative play and a very, very talented player.
Okay, right then. Joe, who are your other four?
I agree on Cameron Champ, and I can't really add to what Ian said there. Adam Hadwin is another one that I like. He's become a California specialist. He's finished in the top 6 in the last 4 editions of the Desert Classic at La Quinta. And, he played all right at Pebble last week. And he's played well here. He finished in 6th last year. And his worst finish, I think, is 34th in his last 4 starts here. You know, he loves playing on the West Coast, clearly. And, I just think, while he's not the longest hitter on tour, he's by no means short. And he's the best scrambler on tour as well this season so far, which relates well to a course like this where people are going to miss lots of greens.
Okay. And who are your other two?
I like another bomber, Jason Kokrak, who's played better here than anywhere else in his career, really. He's finished 22nd or better in his last 3 starts, including a tie for 2 in 2016. And he loves playing in California as well. A couple of Desert Classic top 20s to his name. And, he's played decent at Pebble, even if he skipped it last week, because a lot of guys had the flu last week. You should be ready to go.
We've got golf flu as well as equine flu.
Yeah, I know, it's terrible, isn't it? Everyone's getting it.
Let's quarantine all golfers. We don't want them coming over. We might have the Open.
And I've got one at a wild, wild price. You can get 400-1, and it's Max Homer.
I've never heard of him.
Yeah.
Max Homer,
I'm quite sure. This is a bit of a mad one, but he qualified after finishing 10th at Pebble last week when Scott Piercy free-putted, so he just got in. And he's a California lad. He lives about an hour away from the course, and he's played it a couple of times sort of not doing that well, missing cuts, but you know, he's playing better than ever now. I mentioned Pebble last week and a top 30 at the Phoenix, and he played this at the NCAA Championship, the college tournament in 2012, and he finished top 10 in an event where there were some good players in that. Thomas Peters, Patrick Cantlay, they were also in the top 10. So, you know, I'd give him a shout each way at the prices, and maybe more looking at top 40 markets where I think he's 7-1 with Paddy Power.
Good little sus there. Yeah, there he is, M. Homer, M-H-O-M-A. I have a little, sometimes this is how my mind works, I think about funny little two balls you could get in golf. And if you ever played Webb Simpson, Homer Simpson would be a good one, wouldn't it?
That's nice.
So we'll see how that one goes. What do you know about Max Homer, Ian?
Yeah, looking through him, yeah. He's obviously a young player from the web.com. And as Joe mentioned, yeah, that NCAA 2012, that's a nice little form book, because I think Peters has gone well here in debut in the past. I think he was fourth here in 2016, and that was a kind of a piece of form that really stood out before the tournament as well. And obviously Cantlay, I think, was fourth last year as well. So yeah, I think that's a nice looking shout, and I think I'll be taking an axe to that 7-1 top 40 when I get
no,
back to
don't.
The desk.
Oi, no, wait till this comes out. We're okay, watching okay, you, okay? You've got to let the listeners get on.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
At least me, anyway. That's a good little sus out, Joe. Yeah, well played. I like that.
Could finish 140th.
Of course. Let's go through the. We'll do our little quick one line on the fancied runners we haven't mentioned yet. Ian on Dustin.
Yeah, we're looking to take him on this week. We're top priced in the industry. I think it's just, obviously the course is going to suit him massively, but it's been a long couple of weeks. Like, he was in Saudi Arabia, back to California, looked to be a little bit jet lagged. Happy to take him on around anything less than double figures.
Okay, our esteemed colleague Ian Wilkerson, who is standing in for Steve this week in the paper, has gone for Justin Thomas. What do you think of Justin Thomas, Joe?
Yeah, there's always plenty to like about Justin Thomas, but you know, I just think there's better value further down the market in this tournament.
Okay, Big Johnny Rahm in.
Yeah, potential. He's one of those other power faders as well. Again, happy to let him go off at 16-1.
Of course, debut as well.
Yeah, of course.
Tiger, Joe?
Has played here more than anywhere else without winning, so I'm happy to leave him this week. I think
not his sort of guess,
if Tiger's going to win, it's going to be, you know, Florida in a few weeks' time, maybe.
Okay, anything else to add before we wrap on the Genesis Open, Ian?
No, happy enough with the five bets. As you said, taking up plenty of the front end of the market.
I know you are, blimey. That's what I've noticed that with Steve and Jeremy Chapman down the years, if they haven't had a winner for a while, you look at, you get the old tips and you think, blimey, they need a winner. Joe, you've got your 7-1 Max Homer for a top 40. That's with Paddy Power.
Yep.
Good. Long may that last. Anything else to add, Joe?
No, that's it for me.
Good. Well done, mate. Very good. Right then, let's look at the European Tour event next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Oh, baby.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Golf Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Joe Champion and Paddy Powers, Ian McLaughlin. Right then, I need to know how the World Super 6 works before I find out who wins it. So, Joe, you've compiled a little, or we've compiled a little panel in the Racing Post. I've read it and I still don't quite get it. Can you just do your best to explain to me what the deal is with this?
Okay, so for the first couple of rounds, it's very simple, just a normal regulation cut, top 65 and ties go through to round 3. And then in the third round, the top 24 will then progress to the match play. In the event of there being players tied for 24, there's a sudden death playoff up at 18 that can go on for a little while. I think Kiradesh Afibanrat won it last year. He played the 18th tee 15 times or something. So it can be a grueling one. And then you've got the 24 on Sunday that go into a match play format. So there are effectively 8 seeds that go immediately through to the second round. And then there's the 16 other players who play off in that first round.
That then gives you a round of 16 and then you crack on.
Yeah.
So it's a six-hole stroke play.
It's 6-hole stroke play,
okay.
Yes.
And then, Ian, I'm told the playoff there, there's a sort of pitch and putt element. It is match play or stroke
six-hole
play?
6-hole match play.
Which is it?
6-hole match play, yeah.
Match play.
Yeah.
But then what happens if they're tired at the end of that?
I think they just continue playing. I think it's sudden dead again.
I'm looking here. It says any match is not decided. We'll go to a shootout hole measuring 90 metres that uses the 18th green.
Yeah.
This is mad. We'll have a windmill next, won't we? We'll have a crazy golf windmill. Look, I mean, I'm all for trying new things, but I'm not sure with golf. I know golf's got a bit of an image problem and that the player numbers are waning, But I'm not sure, Ian, is this the way to bring it back?
No, like Steve and myself, I would say we're purists on this side of the game. So yeah, I don't like any of this sort of change. I won't be watching the event really if it's on TV. It's just not for me really.
No, and it's on. It's in Perth where there's an 8-hour time difference. Yeah. So. Okay, but against that, a winner is a winner. So let's see what the boys got. Joe, how many tips have you got for us on this?
I've got three.
Three. And are you going to be tipping on the outright or the 54 hole? Because I know a lot of the bookmakers are offering a 54 hole market, aren't they? You're going to go for glory on the outright.
Toying with this. I think the best option is probably just split stakes across the two because you'll be kicking yourself either way.
Yeah. It's hard to tip someone for 54 holes and they say, oh yeah, but I don't fancy him on the Sunday, isn't it? So any tips you put up, you're going to say, have a fiver each way on the outright and a fiver each way on 54
holes.
That's
the way to go, really.
And is that going to be your strategy as well, Ian?
Yeah, I have one selection and my advice would be split stakes across 54 hole and the outright.
One selection?
Yes.
How many did you say you had, Joe?
Three.
Three, right. Well, Joe, we'll get your main one now.
Okay, my main selection is Paul Dunn, one of Ian's compatriots.
Is that positive?
I'm not sure Irish people have great form in this, but, they've only had two editions of it, so...
Yeah,
Paul Dunn, he won the Golf Sixes, another one of these kind of novelty events in the Irish team alongside Gavin Moynihan last year. And, he's played the Vic Open last week and finished 17th. And that's Paul Dunn's best finish so far. It's his best finish since April. You know, he's been struggling off the tee. And there were signs last week that he was getting back to his best. I think he ranked 15th in accuracy off the tee in the field last week. And, this is a wide course, so even if he's not that accurate, it's gonna help him out. It's got big, wide fairways, and that's going to suit him. It's in Perth, and any cricket fans will know about the breeze that comes in the afternoon in Perth.
The Fremantle Doctor.
The Fremantle Doctor, yeah. And that won't bother Paul Dunn. He's a proven sort of links-type player. So I think, if he can get into that match play situation, then he's got match play form. He's a good player when he's playing well. So, if he gets onto Sunday, he could easily win.
Okay, I have 1 week off and I've completely forgotten Postcast Protocol. We start off with a show of betting from Paddy Power. So if you could write that wrong now, Ian, that would be very helpful.
Yeah, so we're four places. We're offering extra places on the 54-hole stroke play, but I'll give you the outright betting as well. Thomas Peters heads our betting at 16-1, joint favourite actually with Tom Lewis. Lucas Herbert next in at 18-1. Jason Scrivener, 18-1. Ryan Fox, 25-1. Justin Harden, 25-1. Brad Kennedy, 28-1. And 33-1 bar.
Peters has been a headline tip in the Post. That's Ian Wilkerson's fancy, so it looks like he's been backed already. Ian, one selection, who's it going to be?
Yes, it's Minwoo Lee, a young Aussie player whose potential to be a star. Was an excellent 2 weeks ago in the Saudi International, 63-63 over the weekend. Finished 11th in the 54-hole stroke play portion of this event last year on debut. Was eventually knocked out in the quarterfinal stage. I think he's a much better player arriving this year. I think he could go very well at 50-1.
Ah, Wilco's put him up as well.
Ah, okay.
See, this is the heartbreak with this, isn't it? You could win the 54 hole by five shots, and then in a six hole match play, sprint, you could just get a bit of bad luck or whatever,
Brett
can't
Rutherford
you?
Did both in 2017. That's in the right, first edition. He
what
won,
do you mean did both?
He won the 54 hole and then won.
Oh,
the
and then
play.
Hung on. Yeah. Justice was done.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Who have you also got in addition to Paul Dunn?
I've got Poom Saxonson. I think I said that right.
The doctors do a lovely ointment for that.
we've only got two additions of this to go on form-wise, but Ties tend to have a good record in this, and Kiradesh Afibarnerat won it last year. The year before that, a young lad, Peshara Kongwat Mai, came second, and the winner of the 54-hole last year was poor Misawat.
All right. Yeah, I've got him, yeah.
Yeah.
70-1 with Paddy Power, this fella.
Yeah, he's playing well. He won the Indonesia Masters at the end of the year, and that's an event where Justin Rose and Henrik Stenson were the two headline guys in it. So, a decent field, really, for the Asian Tour. And
Steve put him up recently. He got placed at a massive price, I think, back in the last year.
I think he backed...
Oh, yeah, and he won it, didn't he? That's right. That was when I had the cross doubles, and I'd him at 110-1. And I can't remember, someone let me down absolutely chronically over in America for the Life Changer. Of course, yeah.
Yeah, he made the match play edition of the match play, the fourth round of this event, let's say, last season. And, You know, he's showed up well in a couple of other co-sanctioned European Tour events last year. He had a top 20 in Fiji and in Hong Kong. 24th at Singapore in January. He was contending going in, and then he had a final round 76. But it looks like he's playing well, and he could be up for winning this year.
Okay, and who else we got?
And the other one is an Aussie, Nick Cullen, who's twice an Australian Tour winner. And he's got a good record in this event. When it was the Perth International, he'd finished 15th in it in 2016, and he's since made the match play twice. And I think he's 100-1 to win the match play, and I think 66 to win the 54 hole. I think he's worth a shout.
Great. I tell you, we've got some strength in depth over here, haven't we, Ian? Look at absolutely. Joe, golf's number three, stepping in with all those clever susses. Very good indeed. Anything else we should know about this tournament, do you think, Ian?
Nothing really to add. No, just if anyone's going to have a bet, just have a 54 holes bet and then an outright bet, so you're not stung on either side.
Okay, fine. Got any thoughts on Peters, Ian?
The course probably won't suit him as much as he would like. It can be quite tight around up there, and will there's so much variance in the sixth hole match play. I'd let these favourites go off the price that they are, and if they win type of thing. So
okay, fine, jolly good. Right then, if we only had one golf bet this week, what would it be, Joe?
Bobby Watson to win the Genesis Open.
And what would yours be, Ian?
Rory McIlroy to win the Genesis Open.
Okay, lads, thank you very much indeed. That will do for this week. What have we got next week? Steve is deigning to return to these shores from his sunshine. Oh, we're in Mexico. What for?
Yeah. The WGC Mexico Championship. It's a great little event. Yeah, it's 80-man field. It's brilliant. It's up in the trees at altitude. It's great. Yeah. It's an excellent course.
Okay, and then what else have we got? Is it the Puerto Rico Open as well?
I think Puerto Rico's there as well, and the European Tour, I think, is off this week. Let me just double-check that
okay.
as soon as I can.
So we've got a good one next week, yeah?
Yeah, it's a great one next week. Yeah.
Fantastic, excellent. All right, then, I am back on Thursday for the football podcast. We're looking ahead to all the FA Cup action, and we've also got a fantastic Friday racing podcast featuring actual horse racing. So looking forward to that. And don't forget, Steve and Ian will be back next Wednesday for another Racing Post Golf Postcast.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Light the candle, Tiger!